Good morning. You probably just heard Edward schooling me about my singing, so that's just the beginning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. At beginnings, endings, and always, God is with us, and we are with God. It is a mutual thing. This is a season of joy, Easter season. For 7 weeks, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and on the 8th week, the birth of the Christian church. It's also the season of celebrating another joy, graduation from school. I just attended the college graduation of my son, William, last week in Chicago. Many of you will be attending various graduations. At commencement ceremonies, we hear from faculty about student achievements and accomplishments. High school and college commencement speakers tell insightful stories of personal journeys and provide some sage advice about going forward from the secure womb of school into the big world of life. Carrie James Marshall, a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient and acclaimed artist, was the commencement speaker at William's graduation at the School for the Art Institute of Chicago. In his 36-year career, Mr. Marshall has created large-scale paintings, sculptures, and art objects whose subjects are the history and lives of African Americans. A few memorable things he said to the newly minted citizen artists, as he called them, include, "There is no pass for good intentions in the real world. Execution is everything. Don't take lightly the opportunity to engage with the world. Take nothing for granted. Success is about process and how you commit to it." Mr. Marshall gave encouragement and shared his existential philosophy for success: action, courage, faith, and to underestimate nothing. Today's gospel is not a commencement address, although it contains reassurance and encouragement. It is much more. Jesus is calling the disciples into the deep, embodied relationship between the Father and the Son. The reading is a part of Jesus' farewell speech. His ministry on earth will soon end, and the life and ministry of Christ's church will begin. Up until now, Jesus has been teaching, feeding, healing, and leading, and his disciples have been following, awed, amazed, and clueless about their rabbi's loving and subversive ways. Now he is letting the disciples know that he is passing the torch to them. It will be their job to continue his ministry. And Jesus tells them that they will do even greater works than he did. Last week, Kurt spoke about the first part of Jesus' farewell discourse, where he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Jesus told the disciples to be faithful and trusting in his love, that there is hope. In today's gospel, he tells them that he is not abandoning them. God the Father will send them an advocate, the Spirit of Truth, to guide, sustain, and companion them on their journey, in their ministry after he's gone. The Spirit of Truth is the Holy Spirit. "Don't be afraid," he repeats. Jesus reassures the disciples that he loves them and is with them. Sometimes our faith is weak and we have doubts about God. Humans want to find a pretext to prove that God has abandoned us. Syria, for example, where is God there? We want to complain against God, who seems here one day and gone the next. We don't need to look further than the eyes of each other to find God's presence right here, right now. Paul tells us that God is present. In Romans, he writes that since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things that he has made. Look around. God made you, and God made me. God is present, invisible. Thomas doesn't understand. Judas, not Iscariot, doesn't understand and asks, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Philip doesn't understand and says, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus answers, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The divine is present here and now. We share a mysterious mutual indwelling with Jesus and God, a mutual relationship of life and love. Jesus says, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. The Holy Spirit is promised to us, and this promise is fulfilled at Pentecost when the Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit is someone, not something, which comes to dwell among us. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, confessing God is over us. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, confesses that God is with us and for us. I believe in the Holy Spirit, confesses that we believe that God is in and among us. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, we learn about the Spirit's work in God's creation of the world and human life. The word Spirit means wind or breath of life. God's Spirit is the source of all life and creativity. In Exodus, God's Spirit is the source of art and design, as God tells Moses that God has called Bezalel to design and make the tent of meeting. In the book of Job, we learn, truly it is the Spirit in a mortal, the breath of the Almighty, that makes for understanding and wisdom. From the psalmists and the prophets, we learn that the Spirit of God is an ally for the helpless, the poor, and the oppressed, who have been forgotten or excluded by the rich and the powerful. John's Gospel tells us the Spirit is the wind that blows where it will. The Spirit's relationship with us is a personal relationship between God and ourselves. The Spirit empowers us, God's church, to continue the work of Jesus. Like Christ, we can and we must feed and clothe the needy, heal the sick, teach each other love and compassion, create peace and beauty, and lead others toward justice. How do we understand the Holy Spirit working in our lives? The Holy Spirit is invisible, yet works visibly in many, many ways, big and small, at St. Patrick's. The rummage sale last month is one huge endeavor that is only possible because of God's given talent, inspiration, and faithful devotion to our community by so many of you. We are blessed with the gifts and talents of Adele's music, teaching, and leadership, and the voices of our choirs. Today, Jolynn and Louis are lifting our spirits with gorgeous music and song while Adele is away celebrating the joyous occasion of her son Jesse's graduation from college. Ellen Terpstra and Mary Catherine Netherton have arranged the beautiful altar flowers in God's glory this morning. Claudia and Lisa are working in the kitchen, preparing treats we enjoy at coffee hour. All around us, here at St. Patrick's, are acts of love and kindness that feed our spirits and our bodies. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in this place. The disciples were very scared about Jesus' death. We face challenges too. How do we get through these? We might eat ice cream, or drink a lot of coffee, or binge watch television or video games. However, we soon find that we're not feeling much better, and perhaps the challenge that we're facing hasn't resolved either. We realize that we need God's help. Through prayer, we bring Christ's presence into our life and work. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, or prays, "Let thy steadfast love come to me, O Lord, thy salvation according to thy promise. Then shall I have an answer for those who taunt me, for I trust thy word." How are we doing 2,000 years later? We see love in the eyes of our neighbor. We see healing and feeding. But injustice, suffering, deception, greed, and malice are still with us. God's church, that is us, with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's grace, continues to seek justice, peace, and truth. We strive to live as Christians, to be faithful and patient, compassionate and wise, loving and respectful, to promote health, peace, and justice for all of our neighbors in our country and in the world. God is present, invisible, and with us in the beginning, in our challenges and transitions, and for always. We too must take Carrie James Marshall's warning that there is no path for good intentions in the real world. Execution is everything.